Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us this morning. Today on the show, we'll be discussing all things NPR, or at least all things NPR that we can fit into 1 hour. Joining us live for the hour from Washington, D.C. is NPR's ombudsman, Alicia Shepard. She's been working as NPR's ombudsman, representing NPR listeners to NPR managers and administration, and working to increase transparency in the process of journalism and news content production at NPR since 2007. She's approaching the end of her term. Thanks for joining us this morning, Alicia.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Great, great. If you have any burning questions, which I know you may have, listeners, for this program, you're welcome to email them to us at callinshow@kunm.org. The numbers to join the conversation are locally in the Albuquerque area, 277-5866, or toll-free 877-899-5866. So, Alicia, wow, what a year. You joined us last year on the Call-In Show. A lot has happened since then. I'm talking about the recent controversies over the firing of Juan Williams, the secret taping of the CEO of fundraising at NPR, Ron Schiller. Then we had the resignation of NPR's CEO, Vivian Schiller, no relation. How has all of that been for you as the ombudsman at NPR?
Well, the job as ombudsman is really to police the journalism, and police is a strong word, but make sure that NPR's reporters, editors, producers live up to the ethics code which they created, which is on the NPR ombudsman website, if any of our listeners are interested, which is npr.org/ombudsman. So I say that because a lot of the problems that NPR has experienced the last 6 months have had to do with management and not with journalism. And if you think about it, the journalism, the quality of the journalism has gone on. But everything that you just mentioned, with the fact beginning on October 20th, which will turn out to be D-Day for NPR, when they just abruptly and poorly fired Juan Williams for a remark that he made on Fox News. And let me just backtrack and say that wasn't the only reason. That was the perception that came across, because he said the remark on October 18th, and he was fired on October 20th. But in fact, there had been, ever since I got to NPR, Elaine, in October 2007, there had been complaints consistently about Juan Williams and things that he said on Fox News. And I began to feel that in his case, that I was the ombudsman for Fox News. All of it has to do with management. So why did I get involved? Because I am also the listener representative. And listeners were furious. I got more emails, Elaine, than anything I'd ever experienced at NPR. I got over 23,000 emails. And if you think about it, what does it take to send an email to the ombudsman? It ain't easy. You have to go to NPR.org, you have to hit contact us, you have to fill out a form. So these are people that were really, really angry.
Some very, now, yeah, very strong reactions to some of those, both some of the content from some of the analysts on NPR in other locations on the media spectrum.
Oh boy, yes.
And then, but let's talk, I find one of the things you mentioned about perception and appearance really important here, as you're kind of drawing the line between NPR management and NPR reporters and news staff and editors. Is there a basic kind of misunderstanding about the way that news organizations work amongst the general public in your mind that requires you to defend management when you're really looking at responding to listeners' concerns about news content?
Well, there is absolutely a lack of understanding about how journalism works in the public, and journalists and news organizations are primarily responsible for that. But you mentioned to use the word defend, and I just have to jump in and say that the ombudsman is totally independent, and I was never in the position of defending NPR. If anything, I was in the position of explaining what happened. So, for instance, that to say that he was fired for one remark is just wrong. It's not necessarily explaining, defending it. It's just that those are the facts.
Yeah, I think that was an unfortunate use of a term in my
well,
case.
Well, because I did jump in because the perception is Internally, I'm the cops. People at NPR don't want me writing about them. Externally, I'm a shill for NPR. So there's a reason they call it the loneliest job in the newsroom. Mm-hmm. But just understanding, in this case, all of the events that happened to NPR, that NPR caused, affected how the public perceived NPR. And in this, you'd have to be really honest and say that there's a certain part that maybe NPR wasn't treated fairly the way other news organizations would be if they made a bad management choice, because it was politicized. The reaction was clearly politicized by the right after Juan William was fired. And your listeners need to remember that, or many know, that Juan Williams came to NPR over 10 years ago with a contract with Fox. So the whole time he was there, he straddled the line between NPR and Fox. And I think that initially that worked, and over time, as unfortunately our media has become much more, our society has become much more polarized, it became more difficult.
Well, so you're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. Our guest this morning is NPR Ombudsman Alicia Shepherd. She's joining us live from Washington, D.C. If you have questions for her or comments about the way that NPR management has handled recent controversies or about the coverage that NPR reporters and editors produce for content for the programs that we air here on KUNM, like Morning Edition and All Things Considered, please give us a call. The number is 277-5866 in Albuquerque. You can also call 877-899-5866 is the toll-free number outside the Albuquerque area. You can also send us an email to callinshow@kunm.org. We'd love for you to join the conversation. So, Alicia, let's move on a little bit to what kinds of reactions have you heard from NPR staff and reporters to the types of management decisions? And I'll point out, I've read your posts, and I know that you are you can be quite critical of some of the management decisions that NPR has made.
I have been critical, and I wish I could say that it has been difficult, but I think the decisions have been in many ways black and white and indefensible. And people say, oh, you're brave. And I think, I'm not really brave. I have easy, if you will, quote-unquote, material to work with. I generally am dealing in gray areas and nuances and trying to explain to the public how journalism works and why decisions are made. I mean, I got an email yesterday from someone saying, I wish you well in your new adventures, since I'm going to be leaving NPR next week, and I hope you won't have to make so many compromises. And I actually wrote back and said, what you see as compromise, I see as someone with 30 years of experience in journalism and understand how it works.
What were they talking about with respect to compromises? Oh, what do you think they were referring to?
Well, I mean, all I would just say is go look at npr.org/ombudsman and see the kind of comments that I get about things that I write. The people that are most vocal, Elaine, either commenting or calling or emailing, are often people who want NPR to advance their agenda. Mm. And so they feel that in any particular instance, NPR isn't being tough enough on an issue when NPR is really trying to be fair about an issue. So I have learned over time that people listen and react to the news based on their personal political agendas. And it's not like I've come up with some explanation to explain away. I think it's great that public radio listeners are so passionate. And I have to say, as someone with 30 years, public radio listeners are much more engaged and dynamic and willing and ready to pick up the phone and call if they don't think something is right, which is just great.
And that being said, do you see some of these recent events as having affected NPR's credibility as a news source, even with longtime public radio supporters? I know one of your recent posts talks about research on listener perceptions of NPR.
I don't think so. I think I've come to believe that there are probably three types of people who listen to NPR. One being the diehard, I love NPR, and then the ones, then the people in the middle who have a, yeah, they like NPR, but they're a little more skeptical. And then there are people who just, you know, either they don't listen or they listen and they just don't like what they listen to. So, I would say in the overall public, though, the perception of NPR is different than it was a year ago. NPR has been in the news in a way that it has never been before. And people could say, well, when back in, I think, 2004, when NPR, you know, got rid of Bob Edwards just short of his 25th anniversary, that got a lot of attention. But that was more personal. And what has happened in the last 6 months is much more political.
So I'd like to take a call. Judy in Albuquerque, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much. And I'm one of the people that loves NPR and KUNM, and I listen all the time and appreciate it so much. I am unhappy about what I perceive as a trend toward cute stories. And, for example, this morning they compared an economist to an opera singer. And also sometimes there are these cute little tags at the ends of stories, which I just think are so unnecessary. So that's my comment.
Well, Judy, I think what you're talking about, I know it's different, the opera singer, but the something that they call returns, and they do it on Morning Edition, and those are sort of these kind of funny things that they find in the news, a cat that will get called up for jury duty. And that really has been a hallmark of Morning Edition.
No, that I don't mind.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting that you mention some of the cute things that are done on the NPR programs. There was a couple of years ago where we kind of shifted the way that we were coming in and out of the satellite feed, and we covered what's called the Bleeble, which is the cute little story at the 6:30 and 7:30 moment during the program. And we had a lot of listeners call and express their concern and their appreciation for this one little segment. But I think maybe also what Judy is getting at is that there's a certain shift in some coverage away from what might be called hard news into what's, you know, people might call soft news. Alicia, what is that strategy?
What I see it more is a belief. First, you have to look at the evolution of NPR. It began 40 years ago with All Things Considered, and it really was more of a lefty alternative news service. And over time, particularly within the last decade, they have decided to position themselves as a mainstream news organization. And then that brings up, how do we cover, or how does NPR cover Tiger Woods, Michael Jackson, Mel Gibson, the kinds of stories that you see at the checkout line, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver. And I get surprisingly a lot of criticism about that. This isn't what we expect from NPR. We can get this anywhere else. So I think it's a struggle between what listeners have become accustomed to and how NPR wants to position itself. They want to be the New York Times in the sense that you can get everything from NPR.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking about the shift in some of the structure and tone of some of the coverage. I'm thinking specifically of stories from the Planet Money team, for example, mm-hmm. where you have these kind of innovative approaches to hard news and economy stories that are then playful with, you know, the counting of dollars or the purchasing of gold coins by the journalists in order to explore gold prices or these kinds of things.
And I'm pretty sure that Judy was just talking about economists as opera singers as a Planet Money story that I've already received criticism about.
Yeah.
In this case, Planet Money often strives to be a combination of This American Life, the popular show by Ira Glass, and an economics story or group. And I think that oftentimes it works, and then sometimes it doesn't. And it's just what Planet Money was started as, let's find a new way to try to explain what's happening with economics and the global recession and all of the things that are affecting us every single day. And some people like it and some people don't.
So if you'd like to join our conversation this morning with NPR Ombudsman Alicia Shepard, you can call us at 277-5866 in the Albuquerque area. You can also join us toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also send us an email at callinshow@kunm.org. I have Eric on the line from Albuquerque. Good morning, Eric. You're on the air.
Thanks. Yeah, I wanted to address a point that you just began to talk about. I think it is true that Morning Edition and All Things Considered have become kind of like a news magazine. And I noticed that at the end of every hour, they have cultural features, you know, 5 or 10 minutes on something that might have been described as sort of a driveway moment or something like that. And I think that the drift is away from hard news. I do like the Planet Money reports. I think that kind of innovative reporting is great as long as the subject matter is newsworthy. And so I would weigh in on that side. And as an example, I find that some of the interviews, it seems like there's a very short time period allotted, and they allow interviewees to make a response, but not necessarily to have the time to respond to them. And a perfect example came up this morning when Dr. Chu was being interviewed with the Department of Energy, and the final thing that he said was that when the matter of nuclear waste came up, he said that there was no opposition whatsoever in New Mexico to the WIPP project. He didn't even name the site.
Wow.
But when that came up, and for any New Mexican, of course, that's ridiculous, but
right.
Even on its face, it's absurd to say that a project like that would have absolutely no resistance.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, Eric, was that what they call a two-way? Was that an interview that one of the hosts was doing with
Dr. That's right,
Chu?
Yes.
Yeah, those are, most of NPR are highly produced packages.
Right.
And that's what you will particularly see with Planet Money. Then they do these one-on-one where a host will interview someone, and it does seem to me hard to believe that on the face of it you could accept that there would be no opposition. I mean, nuclear, by definition, is controversial. And so it's surprising that there wasn't any pushback. I don't know if it was a live interview, because if it's a live interview, then they really are going by the clock. I mean, they're totally in tandem with KUNM. And when Elaine's show goes live, they have to cut off. So it
the
may
impression,
have been that.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the impression for me was whether it was live or pre-recorded, that's not important. What mm-hmm. my impression is that there might be 3 minutes for this because there's so much other programming. And instead of being able, in an open-ended way, to end that by saying, well, let's look into that, or we'll, you know, mm-hmm. I would love to have some follow-up to that. I would love someone from the from Nuclear Watchdog Group, for example, to address that.
I'm going to jump in right
here,
Eric.
Let me make one other point I heard recently that really amazed me, was that someone on NPR did repeat what has become a popular thing, is that when Netanyahu gave the lecture to Obama, that he said that his position was indefensible, when in fact he said that the 1967 borders were indefensible. And however you want to deconstruct that in terms of what Obama actually said, mm-hmm. he never said that Obama had said anything indefensible, and yet this is what's being said on radio shows across the dial, and I wouldn't expect NPR to repeat that, and they did repeat that. In fact, they should be correcting these misconceptions, and that's
okay,
what I think. They're more of an ombudsman themselves. NPR, you're the ombudsman for NPR. I think NPR should be the ombudsman for journalism generally.
Eric,
yeah.
Thanks so much for your call. I'm going to take a quick break right now. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. Our guest this morning is Alicia Shepard. She is the ombudsman for National Public Radio. We'll be right back to take more of your calls. Stay tuned.
Support comes from Saggio's homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
Then I became one of People Magazine's most eligible bachelors. And that sounded good. You know, I'm the nerd from high school, obviously, and so that was wonderful.
More true stories told live next time on the Moth Radio Hour from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Tune in this Sunday night at 8 to the Spoken Word Hour for a special presentation of the Moth Radio Hour. That's Sunday night at 8 on KUNM.
Funding for the KUNM Call-In Show comes from the New Mexico Community Foundation, Growing Our Future Together, on the web at nmcf.org, and by the McCune Charitable Foundation.
It's 8:30. This is KUNM, New Mexico's community-powered public radio. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. This morning, we're joined by NPR Ombudsman Alicia Shepard, and we're taking your calls, talking about all things NPR. I'd like to go to Ricardo in Albuquerque. Good morning, Ricardo. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to National Public Radio, you know, here in Albuquerque off and on for quite a few years, and I don't really listen to it that often because of the fact that I've never heard anything positive about our government. It's always negative, regardless of what's going on, and it's so leftist. Most of my friends were all college grads, everything else. I mean, it's kind of like a joke in a way that it just really upsets me because I don't think it's fair to go one way or the other. I mean, I listen to the news, and all things considered is usually pretty good. But even when you have guests on there, we can slant a question one way or another to get the answer that I want. And I would like to see some more fairness in broadcasting from NPR. I mean, like I said, most of the people that I know, I mean, everybody knows that you guys are anti-government and left-wing. That's all I have to say here.
Alicia, before you respond to Ricardo, I want to take one more quick call, and then I would like to return to this conversation about perceptions of NPR as being left.
That's fine. Okay.
Clifton in Albuquerque, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I had two points. I had one point and a question. Now, in response to Javier, I have 2 points and a question. Javier, no one trusts the media generally.
Do you mean Ricardo? Are you speaking about the previous caller?
I am.
Okay, his name was Ricardo.
Yes, Ricardo. No one trusts the media generally. We each of us trust our own instincts, and therefore we each of us choose to believe the media that we trust, if that circular logic follows. But the other thing I wanted to make was on the theme before about how NPR, the ombudsman mentioned that they had chosen to position themselves as a mainstream media outlet. And, frankly, I took that as a little bit of affront to all of us who had been listening ever since they were indeed, Ricardo, a lefter-leaning product, which I personally preferred. And then the other thing is that as they become a more mainstream media, I listen to them sometimes reporting on other media as though it were important, and I am offended sometimes. I can't think of a specific example, but let's say that maybe NPR chose to do a big story about Oprah's leaving the popular media, and I'm thinking to myself, well, that certainly isn't why I listen to NPR. In fact, I listen to NPR to get away from all of that schmaltzy stuff. So the positioning, the repositioning, as it were, inappropriate based on the reasons that I listen. And then that leads me to my question. Is this in some way a response to an increasingly hostile Congress that is always threatening to take the money away? Are they softening? Are they changing their approach as a defensive move?
Yeah, so Alicia, is the shift...
No. I mean, the approach was made long ago. And, when I hear someone like Ricardo say, everyone knows you are left-wing, I have to ask, give me specifics. And one thing I was thinking, Elaine, he's listening. He's listening to public radio, mm-hmm. So he's listening to you, so at least he's a fan of your show. But this is so much about perception and what people want NPR to be. And they estimate they have 27 million listeners, and people want different things from them. And so a news organization has to figure out what do they want to be, how do they feed their listeners, and what resources do they have, and how to best manage those resources. There are people, I was on a call-in show the other day, people calling in saying, NPR does a dreadful job of covering Argentina and South America and things that are happening there, that Argentina has a new president. And it's true. They used to have a correspondent, one in South America, and then they took her and put her in Pakistan because that's where the news was. So, but the going back to everyone knows you are left wing, that requires specifics, and that is a matter of perception. And I just say, tell me what is left wing. And I think what that means is that there are stories that Ricardo once covered differently. And I'll just throw in one more thing. There's something called the hostile media effect, which social scientists study, that the more neutral an organization is, the more people think that it doesn't agree with them. And that's not the point of a news organization, to agree with them.
Well, and I'm thinking about reporters who say, hey, you know, if people are upset with my reporting from both sides or multiple sides of an issue, then I'm doing my job right.
I don't agree with that, do you? I think that's sort of a shallow way of looking at it. I mean, I think you have to look at each story and think, you know, is this story fully covered? And not necessarily a one of the everybody's mad, so I must have done a good job. I think journalism is much deeper than that, and why people are upset about a story can vary so widely. I have to say, one of the things that has just always blown my mind is how people can listen to the exact same story and have such different perceptions of it.
So you're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. Our guest this morning is Alicia Shepard. She is the ombudsman for National Public Radio. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. What do you think about NPR's funding strategies, about news coverage that NPR has produced? Give us a call. Again, 277-5866. You can also send us an email if the lines are busy. callinshow@kunm.org. I'd like to go to Leo in Albuquerque right now. Leo, you're on the air. Good morning, Leo.
Hello, Leo.
Maybe Leo's not there. Let's go to Jess in Tijeras. Good morning, Jess. Are you on the line?
Good morning, Alicia. I just have a quick funding question. I would like to know what percentage of NPR funding comes from the government, and what percentage comes from the people, and what percentage comes from corporations.
Thank you, Jess, for that call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, no direct funding, Jess, comes from the federal government to NPR. NPR is part, and KUNM are part of a member station relationship, and so there are about 200-300 members, and there are many more stations. Those members, let's take KUNM, they have pledge drives. They ask you for money. I would say about maybe 50% of their budget comes from you.
Yeah, that's about right.
And then NPR charges for All Things Considered and Morning Edition. Those are programming fees. And about, you know, 50% of NPR's budget comes from those programming fees. So the way it works is that on average, there are public radio stations get about 10% of their budget from the federal government. And that's what we've been talking about for the last, you know, 7-8 months, about defunding public radio and public television. I don't know if that's the case with KUNM. There are about 25 stations for which, I'm sorry, 75 stations for which 25% or more of their budget comes from the federal government.
We're at more around the 10 or 11% of our funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Right. So then, for NPR, 50% of its funding would come from station fees. Then about 30% of it would come from corporations that do underwriting, like Monsanto, Bank of America, and then, you know, maybe, so we're another 15-20% comes from foundation grants, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. And then NPR has investments as well. Now, NPR applies for competitive federal grants from, say, the National Science Foundation, and they so maybe 2% of their budget actually comes from the government in the sense that they are competing for money for grants. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think Jess is no longer on the line with us. I think he's listening off the air. But
okay.
Thanks for that rundown, and that does we were able to clarify kind of how KUNM fits into that larger structure of funding. I'd like to go back to our callers. Eileen in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for this program. I've listened to NPR for years, and I say do keep up the good work. I'd also like to add, as for perceptions of NPR as left-leaning, Ricardo need not worry. Right-wingers have limitless financial backing, which is all over our daily news, and influences our mainstream media overwhelmingly, also influences our state and national elections. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eileen, for your call. Let's go to Joe Dell in Albuquerque. Good morning, Joe Dell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I guess I agree with Eileen. I don't want to see a slant at all. I listen to NPR so that I can find out the truth. And I wish sometimes that NPR could follow up more and find out when someone makes a statement that doesn't seem right. Instead of just letting it go, it could be followed up so that we would know.
Yeah, I agree. Part of the problem is, okay, you may have heard the interview with Dr. Chu, and then they mm-hmm. may do a follow-up, and you wouldn't have necessarily hear it. And this is the beauty and mystery of radio is that people listen to it while they're driving to work. They may NPR puts out a two-hour morning edition show. No one listens to all 2 hours unless they're just sitting, you know, at their desk. Maybe.
Careful, Alicia. They might call in. Everybody who listens to there's some people who are diehard listeners who may be listening for 2 hours.
Me.
But you're right that the
number one rule in journalism is never say never.
But you're right. The average public radio listener is somebody who is listening, you know, chunks of time here, chunks of time there,
right.
and doing lots of other things at the same time, and so therefore not always getting the follow up story or the second part of a 2-part series or
et cetera. Or even that NPR is covering an issue, which a lot of times I will get, you know, NPR is completely ignoring the immigration story in Arizona. And mm-hmm. I'll take that seriously, but I'll look into it. And then we provide them links of all the stories that they've done. And it just so happens that people weren't in their car or at their stove cooking and making dinner and didn't hear that story that NPR did. So I must say that one of the first things that I do with my job is what the caller is saying true, because of the fact that people hear things differently. I remember one time someone saying they heard Mara Liasson refer to Johnny McCain as though he were her close buddy. And of course, I couldn't find any example of that, and Mara hadn't done that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about broadcasting is you can't go back and reread that paragraph.
Exactly.
Because it's already gone in one ear and been processed through your brain.
But there are transcripts now, and there are transcripts within 6 hours for every story.
True.
So I will be able to go back and either listen to the Dr. Chu story or read the transcript.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We have Alicia Shepard, the NPR Ombudsman, on the line with us for the hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, you have a question about NPR news coverage or the type of work that Alicia has done over the past few years to increase transparency and perspectives into NPR's production of news content, please give us a call. The number is 277-5866 in the Albuquerque area. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also send us an email, callinshow@kunm.org. We have Leo back on the line. I believe Leo's calling from Albuquerque. Good morning, Leo. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you. I just have a quick comment here. I know that your radio station and NPR is a wonderful tool for the people to listen to. However, I find it's very difficult for them to be impartial, and I just want to make a comment that I noticed that your moderator there or your guest spoke about Juan Williams, but I didn't hear her say anything about the upper management people that created some very grave circumstances for NPR. Could she comment on that?
Real quick, let me jump in and say, Leo, that we have discussed this a little bit at the beginning of the hour, and you're welcome, and for all of you listening, the KUNM Collins Show is also produced as a podcast on our website, mm-hmm. and we also have a two-week archive on our website, so you can go back mm-hmm. and listen to portions of the show that you may have missed.
Yes.
So I don't want to spend too much time on this, Alicia, but feel free to kind of recap what you said earlier briefly for Leo and listeners who may have joined us in the interim.
Thank you.
Well, the issue is that hadn't been mentioned was there was a senior head of the news operation who fired Juan Williams, and from that, in my opinion, everything that followed relates back to that one incident. There was then a conservative activist who secretly taped two NPR executives in the fundraising development department. That became public, and then as a result of that, the CEO of NPR was forced to resign. And so would that video have been made is a really good question had the Juan Williams firing not occurred. The Juan Williams firing seemed to be around a remark that Juan made about being nervous when he saw Muslims in Muslim garb on airplanes. And then the videotape was a fake Muslim group trying to give money to NPR to test whether or not they would take it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's one of these questions where I wrote a column, is anyone taking care of NPR? NPR needs to be cognizant of the fact that they are in a political football right now, and they should have been anticipating that people are going to be out to get them in the sense, just being sophisticated about their strategy. And I think that what this really says, Elaine and Leo, is that NPR has existed in a quote-unquote love vacuum, as in I love NPR, and is now out there in the mainstream with the big boys and going to be a attacked. And everything that happened with that undercover video indicated a lack of sophistication about what world we live in. Whether or not we like it or think it's good, that's the world that we live in. And the chief fundraiser, as you mentioned, Ron Schiller, not related to Vivian Schiller, behaved incredibly unprofessionally. He said something which was, and now taking off my NPR hat. Who amongst us shouldn't just shut up the minute that we say taking off my NPR hat?
I'm not representing the organization that I work for right now as I say this. Let's go to John in Albuquerque. John, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes.
Do you have a comment or question for Alicia Shepherd this morning?
Yes, I do. I guess your comment earlier about NPR positioning itself more towards the mainstream is I don't see that the public mainstream has moved to the right, but because of a conservative culture adherence to the Powell Doctrine, which came about or was written in the 70s, I do see that the media has moved to the right. And so if NPR is trying to position itself within the mainstream of the media, then it has moved to the right and is no longer doing fair and balanced reporting.
Well, John, I appreciate your thoughtful perception, but I would just have to say that how do I respond to the people who say that no, NPR has moved to the left? Or are you saying that NPR was to the left and now they've moved to the right?
I think he may have been saying that in a shift to be more mainstream, that may have been a shift in the rightward direction away from the kind of left work that you described NPR as being being the initial approach that NPR had towards news coverage. Let's take Paul in Albuquerque. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Actually, I'm in Socorro, but I go way back to NPR. I started listening in Wyoming to Morning Edition when Pete Williams and Fire Sign Theater. And this is kind of a zany kind of Morning Edition, and it's progressed considerably. I got to say that NPR has evolved nicely. There's a lot more coverage. There's a lot more good local people like Elaine that weren't there before at the local level. And the worldwide reach of the correspondence is great. I'm also a former journalist, and I know that covering stuff is always difficult. And journalism is inherently, I think, left-leaning because you're always asking questions and rocking the boat. So I see a lot of positives. I see that NPR has evolved nicely. One of the things that's always bothered me, and I still haven't gotten over the departure of Bob Edwards, is I thought he was very professional and down to earth, and having Steve Inskeep now there, I think provides kind of a smart-ass edge, I guess you might say, to the news sometimes that kind of irritates me. And sometimes that kind of edge goes over to cover stuff that I can see that we could do without. But overall, I think that NPR is doing a pretty good job and providing us some insight that you wouldn't hear elsewhere.
Thanks a lot for your call, Paul. I'm going to take a real quick break. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. We'll be right back. Callers, stay on the line.
School can be tough, and many New Mexico youth end up dropping out. Did you decide to leave school early? What about your kids or other young people you know? This summer, KUNM will take a look at the reasons why students leave school and what communities are doing to reverse the trend. Tell us your story or tell us what needs to change. Email us at dropoutproject@kunm.org or for more details, visit kunm.org.
MexicanWolves.org, working in New Mexico and throughout the Southwest to ensure the Endangered Species Act continues to protect Mexican wolves. Mexican wolves are an important part of the American Southwest's natural heritage, but with just 50 left in the wild, they're the most endangered mammal in North America. The Endangered Species Act is the key to bringing Mexican wolves back from the brink of extinction. More info at MexicanWolves.org. A message from the tax-exempt MexicanWolves.org.
It's 8:52. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're joined this morning by the NPR Ombudsman, Alicia Shepherd. And I've got a couple of callers on the line, and I'd like to take your callers one after the other, get a couple calls in here, and then we'll come back to you, Alicia, for some responses. Let's go to Annetta first. Annetta, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Thank you. Paul said so much of what I was interested in saying, but one of the things that I have disagreed with as far as almost every caller is concerned is whatever is presented to us, whether we agree or disagree, helps us learn something about the world around us. And if the gentleman who finds NPR too left would listen, he may have a different opinion of his own opinion, any of it. And some of the things that are softer, I do believe in all the 30-odd years that I have been listening that NPR is a little more chatty. I notice it mostly on Saturday with Mr. Simon. He's a little more chatty and not so much newsy. I do like his essays. He's always very heartfelt. But as far as I'm concerned, NPR is my window on the world. I do not have television. I do not watch television. So my news comes from what I find on the Internet and NPR. And if it's things that I disagree with, then I try very hard to incorporate it. I am not a shining example of whatever, but I do believe that anything that comes into our ears and into our head can make a difference in what we perceive of the world.
Thanks.
Nicely said, Annetta. I think that as news consumers, it's important for us to listen to diverse points of view, and particularly those that we don't agree with. I think that the, one of our biggest problems today is that we are intolerant of people who don't agree with us.
Let me jump in, Alicia. I've got Brian on the line in Albuquerque, and I think Brian is going to have a contribution to this current theme of our conversation. Brian, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
And if you could keep your comment as brief as you can, we're kind of coming up on the end of the show, and I have one other caller I'd like to get in, okay? But join in.
Sure. I just wanted to say that I'm a conservative Republican who listens to NPR. I've actually never voted for a Democrat. I listen to Rush Limbaugh on a regular basis as well, but I like NPR. I particularly like Performance Today. It's one of my favorite shows. And I listen to All Things Considered. In fact, I started listening to All Things Considered when I was an undergraduate in college back in the 90s. And I find All Things Considered particularly to be relatively balanced. And basically, that's all I wanted to say. I would be interested to know how many other conservatives who listen to people like Rush and AM talk radio also listen to NPR.
Thanks, Brian, for your call. You know, I listen to conservative talk radio shows also to keep my mind open to what other people are listening to on the radio dial. Let's take one more call. Andres in Rio Rancho, good morning. You're on the air. Let's make your comment as quick as possible, please.
Yes, on the Ricardo issue is I don't believe that this gentleman really, I think he was trying to meme at that the right wing does not like government, not the left wing. It's always been the right wing.
Things
and as far as the last gentleman is concerned, if you spend your time listening to an ignoramus like Rush Limbaugh, you have reached a brand new level of ignorance.
Okay, thanks, Andres, for your call. Thanks for your call, Andres. We're coming up against the end of the show, and I just wanted to thank you, Alicia Shepherd, for participating in the KUNM call-in show this morning. Such a great conversation. If you missed part of the conversation, you can get the podcast on our website at KUNM.org. You can also send us an email at callinshow@KUNM.org with comments or topic suggestions for the program. Alicia, just in our last minute this morning, what is next for you?
I'm not sure yet. I like to say that I'm on the waiting list for a few colleges, like I'm a high school senior, and when I get into one, I will let everyone know. But I have to say, this has been really great. You have wonderful listeners. I do this a lot.
I agree.
And,
I agree.
You are lucky, I have to tell you.
Hey, thanks, Alicia. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all who listened and participated this morning in the KUNM call-in show. We'll do it again soon. We'll be back next week at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. This is KUNM. I'm Elaine Baumgartel.